Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. Before we jump into our study this morning, just wanted to make everybody aware of the Free Answers Conference that's going to be held at Brookside Baptist Church this coming weekend on Sunday, November 15th through Monday, November 16th. Ken Ham through Answers in Genesis will be coming to speak on creation and talk about his Ark project. So Sunday, November 15th at 9 a.m. and 10:15 a.m., Ken Ham will be speaking on Genesis and the state of the culture. And then at 6 p.m. on November 15th, he'll be talking about why build an evangelical ark. So we want to invite all the public to that on Sunday, November 15th, to this Free Answers Conference. And then if you have children, on Monday, November 16th at 9 a.m., kindergarten through sixth grade, he'll be talking about dinosaurs for kids. And then at 11 o'clock a.m. on Monday, if you have anybody from 7th to 12th grade, at 11 a.m., he's going to be talking about science and how it's confirmed in the Bible. So Monday morning is really geared to reaching out to children and to teenagers. And then on 6:30 on Monday night, he's going to be opening it up to adults and kids of all ages to come and hear about the seven seas of history. So we want to invite everybody out to our Free Answers Conference. If you're in the Brookfield area, Brookside Baptist Church is hosting this, and the address is 4470 North Pilgrim Road. If you cannot attend, if you're out of town or just won't be able to make it, we would like to direct you to www.brooksidebc.org. That's the church's home website, and on the front page there, you'll see a place to click live stream, as we'll be live streaming all of these sessions for you. And we just want to open that up to everyone. So feel free to come to our Free Answers Conference this coming weekend. Well, we've been studying together Hebrews chapter 12, coming to the reality of the life of faith being hard, being challenging, being a struggle, and how through God's word, he encourages us through Hebrews 12, and how he enables us to be able to run this race that is harder than we can imagine and longer than we want to run. And he uses the image of being a coach and a father to be able to come alongside us. He knows what we need. He knows where we're at, and he knows where we're supposed to be, and he's going to give you exactly what you need to get you to where you need to be. He encourages you. He strengthens you. He tears down your weaknesses to make you stronger. And it's all for your good and for his glory. And we noticed in verse 5 of Hebrews 12, my son, don't despise this process. Don't look down on his discipline in your life. Discipline, as we came to find out, is not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. It refers to the maturing of a child. And it comes with great encouragement and strength along with correction. It's the whole idea. And that's what God is doing in the lives of his children. And he uses that to help us run the race of faith. So what else we see at the end of verse 5 is, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. So he starts broad with chastening and discipline and then kind of narrows it a little bit, gets a little more specific as to how he corrects us and disciplines us. And he says here, don't be discouraged by his rebuke. Now, that word rebuke means to expose or to bring to light. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when your weaknesses are exposed? Terrible, right? But don't be discouraged. It's designed to make you better. We would love everybody to acknowledge our strengths. I have no problem with everybody knowing what I'm good at, patting me on the back. The issue is I don't want anybody to know what I'm not good at. It's embarrassing. It's humbling. But what we see here is God is going to expose those weaknesses, those things that are holding us back, weighing us down. He's going to bring those things to light because it's God's goal to purify you, to make you holy. And how does he do that? He does that by getting rid of things that are impure. So he's going to expose your sinfulness so that you can deal with it and grow. Now, let's think about this practically for a moment. If you think of a successful business, identify what they do to be successful is they identify what their weaknesses are, if it's customer service or advertising, and they address that so they can become better. Successful parents identify and work on their weaknesses. I need to be more consistent, or I'm too busy. And they work on that to become successful parents. Successful athletes identify their weaknesses. Oh, I don't have a good jump shot. Oh, I'm too slow. I need better footwork. And successful Christians, God identifies and works on their weaknesses. Is it a lack of patience, a lack of trust? Is it a servant's heart? Am I too angry? Am I selfish? And what God's going to do is he's going to rebuke you. He's going to bring those things to light so that you can deal with those things. The idea of what's being communicated in this text is that love exposes error to correct it, to help strengthen the other. So God isn't exposing your weaknesses to humiliate you and to laugh in your face. He's exposing your weaknesses so that you can deal with it and become stronger, so you can actually be better. And notice what he says at the end of verse 5. Don't let this process discourage you. You know, oftentimes what God will use to rebuke us or to expose our weaknesses are the people around us. As a father of four, I can already tell you who the Lord uses the most to expose my weaknesses. It is my children. That is not a fun process. If you want to see how wicked and sinful and proud your heart is and how much of a lack of patience you have, just have a child. And your heart will be exposed. But God uses them and allows me to work on those weaknesses. In verse 6, he says another way. So not only through rebuke, but for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son in whom he receives. That word scourging means beat with a whip. Fact is, God does use pain to teach. And we have to be very careful that it doesn't lead us to think wrongly about him. Wrong thinking about this verse leads us to think that God hurts me because I hurt him. Sometimes we think that I'm going through difficulty because God's punishing me for something that I've done. But that's never the case. That's not why God disciplines his children. That's what the cross was for. Romans 8 tells us that there is therefore no condemnation, punishment, or judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. The discipline of God is not to pay you back for your sin. His son took that on the cross. That's not what chastisement and discipline is about. God is not in heaven going, oh yeah, you did this, now I'm going to do that. If he's going to pay you back for your sin, you would be in hell. So God doesn't discipline you to pay you back for your sin. And here's what we need to come away with. There is pain to instruct that is different than pain to punish. And God disciplining his children is pain to instruct. It's for your good. It's not punishment. God's discipline in our lives involves him giving us joy and encouragement and exposes the good and exposes the weaknesses. He tears down the pride. He matures us every day, preparing us for heaven. And we need to understand that takes time. Well, how long will that take? Your whole life. Your whole life until you're with the Lord. In verse 7, he says, if you endure the chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Can I just say this? If your life is, you just know the hand of the Lord is shaping you. Yeah, it's hard. The race of faith is long and there are obstacles. But you have a loving father who's dealing with the maturity of his children to make them better. And if that is happening, then you are his child. If not, what the scripture says here, then you are not his child. We see in verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us that seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So what's the conclusion? How does he bring this all together? Well, God's discipline in your life will produce fruit. You will get results. It's not like one of those ab workouts. Oh, 30-minute abs, and then you can have a six-pack. It's not one of those cheap things you see in a commercial that guarantees results, and you try it, and there's no results. That's not how God works. God's guarantee will produce results. He says that in verse 10. What's the purpose of all this discipline? What's the purpose of him maturing us through difficulties and allowing certain things? Well, it's to share in his holiness. Now, why would God want us to progressively become holy? Because he's holy. And he wants us to be like him. And little by little, you are becoming more holy, relationally closer, more pure, more transformational, more powerful. God's training of us, the fun, the hard, the joy, the pain, the whole purpose is to make you holy. And it allows us to be closer to him. It is for your good and his glory. Verse 11 continues. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful. It's not going to be fun, but painful. Nevertheless, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's talking about good works that result in maturity. You see, the problem for most of us is we have a tendency to focus on the pain instead of the process and the purpose. Our focus is more vertical than it is horizontal. And we are quickly blinded to the value of the struggle and what it brings to our life. And how God uses it to shape us to be more like himself. And the reality of Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, is that God disciplines us because he loves us. We are his children. It is for our good. It's to make us stronger. And that is the way that God strengthens us daily to run the race of faith. So the race of faith is longer than I want to run. It's harder than I ever could imagine. So how do I continue to persevere? How do I get my second wind? I come to an understanding that I need him. I can't do it on my own. And I understand the process of life that he takes me through, that he is actually strengthening me to be able to endure. J.I. Packer said it this way. Still, he seeks the fellowship of his people and sends them both sorrows and joys in order to detach their love for other things and attach it to himself. That's the process that we go through each and every day. I hope you find encouragement in this passage this morning because you have a Father in heaven and a coach who is enabling you and empowering you to run the race of faith. Thanks for joining us on the Word for Life. Have a wonderful day.